You Heard Podcast. You already know what it is. Listen, man, I'm coming in hot because I've been drinking a little bit. We're not here to take part, baby. We're here to take over. You know what I mean? We're coming at you with some different conversations. My boy Joe right there on my side. Joe, man, welcome to the pod, man. You ready?
Thank you, man. Yes, I appreciate you, man. Yes, I'm ready to get some things out, man. You know, some stuff we can't talk about on Twitter. You know, we can't fit into however many characters. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir. All right, guys. First, check out the intro.
Welcome to the You Heard Podcast.
I'm hurt, dog.
Ben and Joe break down all things Miami Hurricanes football.
Don't ask me if I'm all right. Hell no.
From hot topics to pre- and post-game analysis.
Joaquin said dominate, and we not doing it.
You heard.
I put my heart in this, dog.
First and foremost, want to give you the story how this came about. I reached out to Joe a couple days ago. I was like, yo, man, I think we could do something special. I think we could get something going. You already got that reach. I got the software and all these things on lock. And you know what I mean? You obviously were into it, man, and I appreciate you doing that, man. So this is your first time podcasting. How's it feel?
Yeah, man. And I want to point out something. This man said a couple days ago, and he's literally correct. Like, he reached out a couple of days ago, and we talked, man, and chopped it up, and he got all this together in a couple days.
I told you.
Graphics over, you know what I mean? We got the mic situation, and I knew he was serious, you know, when he hit me, man. So I was ready, you know. I've podcasted a little bit before. You know, me and my wife had a little video thing we were doing, which we're about to start back up with it. Since it's winter time and we all in the house, at least up north, you know, you guys in Florida are warm, but we're about to start it back up. But yeah, we definitely got to talk about this, you, man.
Yeah, man. You already know, man. Look, so for me, we talked a couple of days ago. I've been a Canes fan since 89, right? When I came to this country from Panama, I always tell everybody, like, I learned how to speak English listening and watching the Canes. Like, it's in my blood for real. Like, it's in there regardless. It's the one team that I root for over anything and everybody. When I watch games, like, I'm that person that, like, you kind of don't want to be around. We're like, don't, just let me watch my game. Let me watch my game in commercial breaks and halftime, we can talk. Like, if there's a snap happening, don't say nothing to me for a minute. Like, I need to breathe. So, yeah, man, like, I've been in it, and I've been wanting to do this for years. So I'm glad I'm doing it with you, man, and we're going to kick this thing off, man. So how about you tell me your Cane story?
Oh, yeah, man. I've been a Cane. Oh, man. When was my 87? 88, I used to watch Michael Irvin and them, man. They used to get in three-point stances as receivers. It was hilarious.
Yeah,
they used to do that back in the day, man. And I used to watch them. My first experience in football, I've been playing football since I was like 5 years old. My favorite player back then was Jerry Rice. So my team is the 49ers in the NFL. And I started watching college football, ironically watching, I think my first game was like Florida State, Miami. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And I fell in love with Miami, man. Just the way they played, the swag, the hitting, the dancing, the you know, everything. I just fell in love with that team, man. And I'm from New York. A lot of people don't know. A lot of people in New York are Miami fans, man.
Like, oh, word.
You know what I mean? Especially from my era, you know, because, like I said, that team personified style and swag and all that. And that's, you know, in New York, that's what we, you know, we was known for, style and dressing and all of that. So we related to Miami, and that's been my squad, man, ever since. Like, I'm like you. When we lose, I have a bad day, man. It's not even funny, man. And
It's not easy, man.
It's
not easy. Like,
who's your favorite Cane player of all time? Who's your favorite Cane player of all time? Let's get that out there.
All right, bro. Like, I'm gonna keep it. Okay. It might be a deep cut, man. Willis McGahee is my favorite Cane's player of all time.
Okay. Okay.
He went to my school because I went to school in Miami. So before he transferred to Central, he played at Miami Springs, right? Okay. And look, I'm gonna keep it a buck. I played high school football very briefly. Mm-hmm. I tried to tackle him. He hit me with his leg. I fell asleep for a good 15 minutes. I never wanted to play again. Yeah, I was like, yo, you know what? I'm not doing this. I was like, I was 15 years old. I was like, not doing this. I'm out. So it's like a personal thing. It was like, I knew him. Javon Netton played at my school.
Okay.
So like it was like seeing kids you grew up with, like, yo, man, they get to wear these colors. So for me, it's Willis McKay. Also, like, the fact that he destroyed his knee and, like, in 8 months was back in the league balling out, that's a different kind of man. That's a different kind of human, man. Like, it doesn't make no – people don't come back like that, especially back then. So he holds a special place in my heart for that, man.
No doubt.
How about you? Who's your number one?
Man, son, people, it's not a popular one, man, but Rohan Marley, man. That was my, like, I played offense my whole life, man. When I seen him playing, I wanted to play defense so bad. Yeah. You know, he was the smallest guy on the field, and he was knocking heads off. Like, he was flying around, knocking heads off, man. Wearing that number two, man, that was my guy, man.
Hey, number two, man.
Yeah.
Willis, number two.
Yeah, facts.
Hey. Facts. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, man.
Oh, Rohan. Hey, man, I think, and we're going to get into it in a later topic, but I think players like that is what's missing now.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, I know we'll have that breakdown a little bit, but, like, I can't think of a dog like that. You know what I mean? Like, that dude that's like, yo, you don't want to mess with him.
Right.
I don't know.
Right.
I don't know if that, like, I just don't see it on the field. We'll get into it. Yeah. Like, I know I'm kind of jumping ahead, but let's get into this. Let's get into this Clemson breakdown, man. We got a big game this week. Yes, sir. All right, man. So I'm gonna kick it to you first. What's your whole thought process going into this game? What are your expectations going into the only ranked team we've played all year besides A&M? Mm-hmm. That's falling apart worse than us.
Yep. I think this game is let's get our young players in and see what they can do. You know what I mean? Let's empty the cabinets, you know what I mean? Throw in the kitchen sink, you know, throw the kitchen sink at them and let's see what we have on the field. You know, the O-line is decimated, so the young guys are going to play. Dakari, in my opinion, should start. I don't think there's any reason for TBD to even come back this season, you know, me.
With you on that, with you.
Yeah. Chaney's back. I definitely want to see Chaney in there. I definitely want to see Chaney. You know, that three-headed monster with Rooster, Chaney, and Parrish could be crazy. You know, young receiver stepping up. Lassen stepped up last week. He's not young, but, you know, Jacoby George, Brashard, you know, the defense played incredible last week. See if they could continue to take that next step. And Wesley at linebacker, woo,
we talked about this.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Hey. So continue to see what he can do. So I'm just looking, you know, to see what the young guys do and, you know, see how they handle that environment. Cause it's not Georgia, it's not Atlanta. You know what I mean? It's a much different environment. So I'm looking forward to seeing.
That Death Valley hits different. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, man, yes. I'm with you on that. Like, this season's been a different thing than I expected, right? Like, none of us expected this, but like seeing what these young guys can, like, if we get to a bowl game, cool. You know what I mean? 6-6, all right. But, like, seeing what the future brings with these young guys. Because we both know this roster ain't going to be this next year. Like, I think they have unlimited scholarships now, right? Like, the NCAA released some stuff where they can just bring in as many players as they want because of the transfer portal. Because they haven't figured out how to balance that. So, I say 30 to 40 kids are going to be gone. So, let's see what these young kids, let's see what Jakari has. I'm saying at least I'm saying 30 to 35. Let's split the difference. 35. Ooh. Like 30 to 35 Ooh. Are gone. Like I just think so. Like that's you're already starting to see it, right? And these are, and I didn't think GB3 would have been one of those that's going in the portal. I would have thought he'd be starting over Keontre Smith. But that's a whole, you know what I mean? Like getting some more run. I don't remember seeing him on the field this year at all. I think so back to Clemson. This game you play the young boys. I think Jakari brings a different energy. We talked about it. Like he's young, you know what I mean? Like he has a swagger. He has a bravado about him that the other two quarterbacks just don't have.
Right.
You know what I mean? Regardless of the face paint and on all the stuff they do with the NILs, all there's a certain energy. You know what I mean? There's a certain energy that Jakari brings. And look, I'm not saying that he's going to win the Heisman next year. Like, I'm not that dude, right?
Right.
I'm not the guy like, oh, man, he's about to throw for 600 yards, and if he doesn't, he's a failure. Like how some fans do. Like, they put this thing on what they should do, then they get mad that the stuff that Jakari didn't do that he wanted them to do. Like, that doesn't work like that. You random person on Twitter, like, you know what I mean? Like, play defenses. But with Jakari, I think his energy is different. I think he's young, so he's a little bit more – I don't want to – because reckless ain't the right word, but he's a little bit more carefree, right? Like, sure. I think that NIL money becomes different in the sense of, like, it puts pressure on TVD, like, yo, I got to perform. I have to perform. Jakari is just like, hey, man, I'm going to go ball.
Yeah.
Like, that's the only difference I see. Like, he doesn't – he might not be as accurate, but I think he can get better. He can improve. Like, sure. I see the difference in what – the young guys have coming up with the Mario class, the quote-unquote two-week Mario class, has with Wesley Bissaint flying around that field. Just flying. So play the young boys. I want to see what Darryl Porter got. He hasn't gotten much burn. I want to see what Kamari Rogers has, even if there's conflict now with his parents. You know what I mean? Like, I want to see what these young boys have because there's going to be kids coming in and transfers coming in that might be better, and then your career could quickly be over now. Like, this is a full-on business. You want to make money? Make money. I'm with that 100%. Mm-hmm. But this is like, yo, man, this ain't for you. Mm-hmm. So play the young boys. If Miami wins by some miracle, because I'm not crazy.
Right.
It would be that statement win where, like, it could really propel us in recruiting.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Because I think there's a lot of players that want to come, but they need to see something.
Absolutely.
With Mark Fletcher decommitting, they need to see something, and they haven't seen it yet this year. We know what we've seen. It ain't something to be like, yo, I want to jump on that. No, there's been terrible losses this year.
Absolutely.
There's been reasons to leave. There hasn't been reasons to come. They need a statement game. They need to show heart, man. They need to show something. Yeah. That's my feeling on the
Clemson. It can't be a Florida State showing. It definitely can be another one of those. So what do you expect from Clemson? What do you expect Clemson to do?
Oh, I expect Clemson to be very disrespectful. I expect Clemson to be Clemson. Because Dabo's a very disrespectful coach in that sense. Like, Dabo will put it on you. Dabo ain't out there for friends. Sure. Dabo is there for 58-0 closing out Al Golden. Dabo ain't there to be like, oh, but he's a friend. No. Dabo's there to take heads. Sure. So I expect them to come at it. But I think I don't know their their offense is that good. What I've seen, like they scored, but it's like I don't know. I want to say fluky. Everybody's kind of taking a step back, which is what hurts to see Miami taking such a step back.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like you see it, it's like they're not killers. Like they're not those dudes anymore. They're not the Deshaun Watsons and Trevor Lawrence Clemson. This is different. No, this quarterback isn't, you know what I'm saying, isn't that. But, like, at some point, like, you got to have enough players to make the right plays, and that's what Clemson's done to Notre Dame.
Yeah. So, they're going to rely heavily on Shipley, man. He's a we better strap up because Will Shipley runs hard, man. He's he's quick enough to make you miss, and he runs hard. So, we're going to have to definitely strap up. We're going to have to, I think, force DJ to beat us, you know, the quarterback. You know, if we can do that, if we can get them into throwing situations, I think we'll be all right.
I mean, as long as those throwing situations are a deep post.
Yeah, all right. hopefully
unless Cam Kitchens is the
Hopefully we've turned that corner. We're not allowing, you know, the breakdown. It's just the breakdowns, you know. Hopefully we turned that corner. So
let me ask you before we jump to the next topic, right?
Sure.
Did you find it weird, like how publicized it was that Cam Kitchens is like that film study guy? I mean, like, oh, he's like outworking Mario. Did you find that weird? Like, this shouldn't everybody that lost him in the Tennessee State and got balled out by Duke be in that seat next to him?
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, is that's a problem for me, man.
Yeah. What I don't know, right, is who isn't and who is. It may be people doing that, you know, but it's just not mentioned. You know, the topic of the week was Cam because he had the three picks and he played a damn good 99 game. So he was the topic, you know. So there may be others, you know, doing that. You know, you don't have to be in the building to watch film. You know what I mean? Everybody has a huddle.
Facts.
Everything is on a huddle. You know, so, you know, we don't know who's watching film. I'm sure coaches can see who is because you can see the time each person spends on film.
Puts in.
So,
that login is crazy.
Right. So, you know, I'm sure that there's people doing that as well. But Cam was just a topic, you know.
Yeah, because of the performance.
Yeah, no doubt. So, you know, we don't know. You know, when fans say such and such doesn't do this or such as I remember earlier in the season, they was talking about James, you know, J-Dud, the other safety.
Yeah.
James don't work hard. He don't work out. He don't practice at his craft. How do you know that? How do you know that, man? You know, I've seen plenty of film with him working out and practicing on his craft, and that's just what we see. You know, we don't know what else.
That's what we put out there,
It's difficult all right, to
let's see. It is, like, with the James Williams thing, and I've been, I don't want to say critical, because I'm never, like, critical of these young men. Like, I just, like, you know, man, like, I want to see better, right? Like, I grew up seeing better. So, what James is, like, he has all the tools, right? I think the and it could be like a size thing. Like, I think he's just so wiry that it's harder. Like, he doesn't have like Cam Kitchens is that stout short safety, right? He could knock you down. That way down to your knees is a long way down for James Williams. So like his wrap up and his center of gravity is so much different. When you got a 5'6", 5'8" running back, he could slip through. But we got to remember that James Williams is a true sophomore.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like he's going to get better. There's no doubt that he could be, if he continues to improve and he's gotten better the last couple of weeks, continues to improve. He could be that dog. He can be that leader. He might not be that vocal leader, but he's gonna be about that action.
Yeah. That's the thing. I asked for, or not even I asked for, but the patience that we're expected to have with the coaching staff. Why isn't that same patience exhibited for the players? You know what I mean? Ooh. Like you just said, you know, James is a true sophomore, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Why? If the talk is that these players have been in such a bad culture, they've been taught terrible habits, how does he get out that habit in 8 games or 9 games? You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
It's a thing that has to be turned around. It's muscle memory. You know, you've been tackling, using poor tackling habits, you know, for a year, you know, 2 years or whatever. Mm-hmm. When you get a new coaching staff and you learn in the right way, it takes a while. It takes a while to get that going. They need to get that luxury too, you know.
No, you're right. Like, and that's why I'm putting this in the hot topic section, because I think that's been a hot topic all year. Like, we could just cover that. Like, we're expecting these young players. I am not so much as forgiving for older players, but you have to remember they were taught through a different coaching staff, right? Throughout their whole thing, like it's a different thing when you have 4 years of. I don't want to like be that guy that like just bash the old coaching staff, but like that slowly degrades. Like Blake Baker was better than what Manny Diaz ended up doing, right? Like as far as teaching, because you saw the difference, right? Like we put a lot of blame on Blake Baker for that 62-26 North Carolina game,
right?
But he's running Manny's offense, right? Like Jimbo, like for example, Jimbo at Texas A&M has the offensive coordinator, quote unquote, but he runs the plays, right? Like he was the game day caller.
Yeah.
So it's, you know what I mean? Like that, it's hard to break those habits when they were there for 3-4 years and expect the coaching staff to break those habits in, at this point, 11 months.
11
right?
Months,
with limited practices, not as many, they don't tackle like they used to. Practice is different. So, and you're right, man, like the patience isn't put on the players like there's the coaching staff. I think a lot of that comes from they, and not no fault of their own, they have that quote-unquote stench of that old coaching staff, right? You got to clean house sometimes, and it's no fault of their own. I mean, any player that leaves in the transfer portal, I will continue to root for them, you know what I mean, as best I can when they're not playing my Hurricanes. Besides players that quit, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not out here, like, rocking Gervin Hall for whatever reason. Like, he quit in the middle of the year. Like, that's different. Like, if you quit like that, that's different for me. Because you got, if you're not rocking with us, that's fine. But you got Ducey left and your right in that locker room that depended on you. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So we'll see what happens. Like, these kids, the younger kids, like a James Williams, I think Cam Kitchens is still young because he's got that extra year because of COVID. Like, these kids are going to get better. These young men are going to get better. If we're being asked to have the same patience for Josh Gattis, right, which I know has been a hot topic for the entire Twitter, all of Kane's Twitter, we got to have patience for these young kids, right? Like, they went from a six-play playbook, which is what Lashley ran, to Josh Gattis's. I still don't know how to describe Josh Gattis's offense, if I'm being honest. And I've been that guy where, like, oh, nah, man, we got to give these coaches time. But, like, I don't – from week to week, I don't know what Gattis is going to do. I don't know if it solely falls on the fact that this O-line isn't that good. Like, how do you not adjust? How do you not adjust? You know what I mean? Like, that's been my nitpicky shit with that. What about
so
you?
Have we seen adjustments, though? Like, so your O-line is depleted, right? You've had running back injuries. In the beginning of the season, the receivers weren't doing well. They're doing much better now. You're down to your third – what's now your third string QB?
Yep.
Did he adjust? I mean, I think we've seen adjustments. Tried to adjust this last game. Yeah. The problem I have is after halftime. Like, so what happens after you run through that script and the defensive coordinator on the other side has adjusted?
Mm-hmm.
Where's your adjustments on off of that? You know what I mean? So we bubble screening. Where's the pump to the bubble screen and go deep? Where's that? Nope. You know?
Yeah.
That's one time is all you have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you only need to call that play like one or two times to get those defensive backs to back off, and you go right back to the bubble screen. Cause then they gotta think about that deep play. Yeah, like the Jakari game. But it's weird though, right? Like the way he called the game with Jakari was different than how he done all year, and it was consensus like his best called game, but it still wasn't like it still could have been better. Like I don't know how much of that is like it's his ego that like yo, nah, we're just gonna stick to this. Like bro, just one time. It doesn't always have to be a flea flicker. Mm-hmm. It could just be like a pump and go one time. You know what I mean? A double move one time. Let's just see what happens with Jakari's arm. I still don't know what Jakari's arm is. I hear what people say, reporters and different accounts. To me, but I'm saying like I need to see it more. Like I need to see it. Like I need to understand like that he can if he just goes deep and it's incomplete, right? I need to see that next one where he adjusts, where he's showing that progression to learn, because I need to see what he's gonna be like next year. Because to me. If we're going hot topics, right? to me, TVD and Jake Garcia are gone. Like, yeah, and it's not anything because I don't like them or anything like that. I think TVD works better in a different kind of offense. I don't think this is an offense that is that works well with him. It happens all the time with quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. And Jake Garcia needs a fresh start. He looks rattled, frazzled, whatever you want to call the quarterback when he takes a snap. It just doesn't look comfortable. Needs a fresh start. And then we start with probably a transfer portal quarterback. Mm-hmm. With Jakari, I think Jakari has a right to that number one. And then you bring in some different competition with Emery Williams and whoever else we get to flip. But I think those two quarterbacks just need a fresh start. And it's not that I don't like them. You know what I mean? I saw what TVD was. I saw what Jake was. And I think they could be better in a different system. I just don't think this is the one for them.
So I think it depends on if Coach Gattis stays or not.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I think his offense is definitely more suited for Jakari, you know.
Yeah.
At least the way he's calling the offense is more suited for Jakari. If he stays, and that's another question I had. So if he stays and Jakari is there, Emery Williams is a different quarterback from Jakari. So how, you know, if let's say TVD and Jake leave, and you got Jakari and Emery Williams, you know, God forbid Jakari gets hurt or whatever, and you got to bring Emery in.
Then how do you adjust?
Another adjustment. You got to go back to, and that's, you know, I feel like you would bring in the same type of quarterback, you know, to you know, do well within your system to keep that same system kind of going.
You're right. You're right. And you're right with what you're saying, but I also am not the one that thinks that, like, if they leave, Gattis still stays. We talked about it on the phone, you know what I'm saying, when we first started communicating all this. I still think Gattis goes. I think you have to let Gattis go because of PR. Like, you can't, like, the fan base is spoken, right? Like, hey, bro, you can't go 9.5 quarters and a bunch of overtimes with no touchdown. Like, you can't do that. This wasn't, like, top-level competition. You can't do that in college football. You can't do that for what Mari wants to accomplish.
Right.
I understand that the O-line is hurt and all this stuff, but I was like, hey, man, like, you can't win that award that you came in with. You can't win the Broyles and come in here and not learn how to adjust if a couple of your linemen go down.
Yeah.
Like, you can't keep running dives and ISOs with your 190-pound running back trying to figure it out and never, like, one time give him a screen. You know your O-line is hurt. You can't get these lightweight offensive linemen to run downfield and block somebody.
Yeah,
Let's. I'm gonna ask you right now because we watched it. When was the last time you remember a screen?
Running back screen. I've been hoping and praying for a running back screen one time.
I can't remember one this whole year.
Yeah,
this entire season, I cannot remember one. I know bubble screens. I can't remember a screen to Rooster one time.
Yeah. Nah. What? Not at all.
Can't think of one. Like, that's an easy play. You know you're off. You're already letting the offensive lineman not block anybody. Just might as well be part of the play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What are we talking about? It's crazy.
I agree.
It's crazy. You got any hot topics you want to get off your chest on this little segment, man? This feels cathartic, don't it?
This feels good.
Like,
let's yeah, man. So I want to discuss the parent on social media thing. We was talking about that a little earlier. You know, I posted about it, of course, you know, because, you know, that was that struck a nerve a little bit, you know.
Of course. And yeah.
I'm a keep it a buck. I always keep it a buck. We always keep it a buck.
Always. That's what we do here. Yeah.
So as a parent, I'm not going to air nothing out on social media when it comes to in-house things. You know what I mean? As if you guys don't know, my son was in the 2020 class. You know, he was on the team with Coach Diaz and all of them, you know. There were a lot of things that I was privy of. And that's part of the reason I don't go hard on the young men in the building. You know what I mean? That's part of the reason I put blame, not all the blame, but I'm going to say 60-40, 60 on the coaches.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I'm with you on that.
Because the adults in the building are the adults in the building. They have control of everything that goes on in the building. Like, how do you say that the adults are not to blame? Like, if you have kids and your kid is out here robbing people, selling drugs, smacking people, they're gonna look at the parents like, "Yo, man, what was you doing at home?" You know what I mean? But, like, true enough, when they get old enough to leave the house, you kind of have no control over that. But these players are in your house. That building is the coach's house.
It is your house.
Man. You know, in my opinion. So, of course, man, when you, as a player, when you don't go to class, when you late for meetings, you miss meetings, you're not on the
walk out of practice.
Right, walk out of practice. And that's on you. Absolutely no doubt. I told my son that early. Like, my son had to leave because he messed up. It wasn't nothing that the coach did. He got in the doghouse early and, you know, young. He was 17, 18. He got in the doghouse.
And in Miami, you know what I mean? Like,
he just made a lot of poor decisions, and he knows that now. You know, he's 20 now, so he knows what's going on. But the coaches are not just football coaches, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. Some may want to be that, but they're an extension of parents. That's what they're supposed to be. When we send our kids to these universities, we get the promise from the staff, head coach, whoever, that we're going to look out for your son. That's the promise. We're going to look out for him, man. We're going to, you know, we're going to help him if they're depressed, if something, we're going to get them help. But that doesn't happen all the time. Unfortunately, there's what? How many players? 50 plus players on a team, right? 60 players, 70 players.
I think we're like practice squad is probably like over 100, but
Right. There's not bad kind of, players. So if unfortunately, a lot of times, if you're a player that isn't in the top two of your position, you know, you got your starters and you compete in you second string, third string. If you're not that, you're not getting paid attention to. Like,
facts.
They kind of isolate you. They rarely talk to you, you know? So if you got a player that's from Texas in Miami or from California in Miami, and he's not a main piece of the puzzle, and you have no coach, no adult in the building trying to talk to him and see what's up, you know, how is he doing away from home? You know, how's school, how are you adjusting to, you know, college football, that can be a hard thing. Son. My parents is
mental
not
health here. Mental health, baby.
That's the most important thing. Like,
Man.
My parents is not here. My siblings are not here. My boys are not here. You know, that's hard, man. Like, it's not just about football, and that's what these fans get twisted. Yo, just play football, go to practice. Nah, it's not just about that, fam. Like, it's not just about that. And that's where I get, you know, a little uptight at, man. It's not just about that. And so getting to the parent, I don't condone it, but I understand his lashing. You know what I mean? I don't condone it because people will say, why don't he holler at the coach? You know, call him, whatever. Who's to say he didn't? Who's yes, to say yeah. that he didn't talk to this man 3 or 4 times? He didn't talk to the head coach a couple times, and he was told something that didn't happen. So that's the lash out part. You know what I mean? No, I wouldn't do it, no doubt. But I understand the lash. He know he was wrong for it. That's why he deleted the post.
Yeah.
He knows he was wrong. He knows he was foul. So one thing I'm going to ask you. Mm-hmm. Why would a parent's decision affect the coaches playing his son? Because a parent said something. If a player can play, why would my parent saying something affect my playing time now? Mm. How does that make sense?
All right. So, look, like you said, your son was part of the 2020 class. I don't even have kids, so I can't even, like, I'm just giving you, like, the fully fan side of perspective, right?
No doubt. No doubt.
For me, like, when Mario said, like, yo, you can just come get your kids, like, if you want to act like that, I think it was, we don't know the behind the scenes of what this young man was going through with staff. Like, we don't know what his practice habits could have been like. Like, I'm saying, like, as a fan, right? Like, we don't know how, quote unquote, how hard he's working in their eyes, what they see as hard work to take that next spot, right? Like, look, Daryl Porter transferred here and hasn't gotten much burn at all. And we've seen players that we're like, yo, there's got to be something better on the bench than this in that secondary. Right. Right, like we see him. I ain't calling him out. That's you. We see who it is, right? But I think so I want to jump to what you said, like with the calls. What if those coaches weren't answering the calls, right? Sure. What if the weren't returning the calls because of whatever reason the communication was lacking? This parent is also a coach, so it has to be harder for him, right? Because he might coach passionate and be a mentor and a father figure to all these kids. Yeah. But those coaches might not view it the same. Like, we got to remember I don't want to say, like, giving shelter to these coaches because that's not how it is. Like, I think these young men need to be treated better. And I don't think there's enough money being invested. I don't know how Miami's doing it as far as, like, mental health advocates and people to talk to in that way. Because everything you said is 100% valid.
Yeah.
Coming in from North Carolina, coming in from Cali, coming in and not knowing anything about anything in Miami. And Miami is a different animal. It swallows regular grown-ass people up all the time. 17 and 18-year-old kids, and let's keep it a buck, black young men playing in an incredibly rich neighborhood.
Yes.
That is Coral Gables. Is a whole different beast within itself.
Facts.
You know what I mean? Like, we could go back to the documentaries of the U where they're saying, like, yo, man, like, we were scared to go out at night in Coral Gables.
Yeah.
These were future Hall of Famers where it's not much different now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's like, you add all that into it. You don't know what these young men are going through. It's not just your focus on these hour and a half so that we got you a week or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Like, there's a whole bunch of time in there that they're like, yo, man, I miss home. Like, I don't know if I really want to do this. And I'm having all this self-doubt. Who do I talk to? And us as men, let's keep it a buck, aren't, like, us as regular men don't want to really talk to anybody.
An athlete
coming in from, like, where you were that motherfucker, like, you were that dude the whole time in your whole life since you were in Pop Warner, you're going to want to talk to somebody less. So you coming in from Mississippi like this young man did, right?
Yeah.
He's coming in like, I'm coming in. I know people from Mississippi. I got friends in Mississippi. Yeah. Mississippi to Miami is night and day. It's overwhelming. If you used to slow life and all these things, you come to Miami, where if you break too long, the city misses you.
Facts.
You're going through all that, it becomes different. So I think where Mario was talking was, let's keep the dirt in-house, right?
Sure.
Like, yo, like, call me. You know what I mean? Like, once you go public, it becomes, especially with recruiting the way it is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yo, man, you point out, like, oh, you see how Mario treats his players? Dude, you got parents mad at him. The negative recruiting is already there. That's I think that's the only lens Mario views coaching through is recruiting.
Yeah.
I don't know how well he is of a game day coach, but he sees that. He's like, yo, this could hurt me with Mark Fletcher.
Yeah.
Yo, this could hurt me. This could hurt me with Brandon Ennis. If I got Kamari Rogers' dad talking all this, like, they could just show him the screenshot to the kid. Like, that's it. Yeah. The negative recruiting speaks for itself.
Facts.
And I I think he looks at it that way. So it's hard for a coach to come at it, like, especially somebody who has the pressure of a Mario Cristobal, right, of being an alum, winning national championships, and then trying to rebuild this thing and realizing the culture isn't what he thought it was going to be.
Right.
Right? There's going to be people who fall through the cracks, and hopefully it's not Kamari Rogers. I seen his highlight tape. Hopefully he can come in and ball.
Yeah.
I think he can ball out next year with Kamari McLean and different people coming in, because I think there's going to be a huge roster turnover, people leaving. But the communication has to be a key, man. Look, I'm a married man, bro. Like, communication is the most important thing in this world.
Absolutely.
If you ain't talking with the people who matter in your life, you're gonna struggle. So if Kamari felt some kind of way, the parents feel some kind of way, there's a lack of communication somewhere in there. And I give you props on this. It is 60-40. You can't be a coach just when you want them. You got to be a father figure to these young men when they're under your watch. You have to be. You can't just be like, oh, I'm only going to love you when you make plays for me. Nah, bro. Like, a lot of these kids, they never going to make it to that NFL.
Yeah.
They need that degree, and they need the right head on their shoulders more than anything. So all that other, and we see it now where kids don't play that long in the league anymore.
Yeah.
They're trying to focus on that next thing. So that networking and those conversations late at night when they're watching film or after the jugs machine, that could really set a whole different lane for those kids, for these young men. Facts. So listen, man, I'm a big mental health advocate.
Yeah, I guarantee that was part of the recruiting pitch to the parents. You know, I'm gonna make sure your son is good. You know, I'm a treat him like another son. You know, I'm sure that's definitely part of the pitch. You know what I mean? Yeah. So you have to do that.
I think there has to be like the infrastructure to help the kid. Like Mario can't be that dude. For one. You know what I mean? Like, I think not enough money is put into, like, the support system around it. Not just, like, the analysts to, like, win games on Sunday, but, like, you got to win the mentality on a Monday after a bad loss, where a Texas A&M game doesn't lead to a Middle Tennessee State game, because the mind clearly ain't right for these kids, for any of them. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, like, those conversations need to be had more and more. And I don't think it's a thing that happens. So I don't know.
Yeah, and I think I'm sure the majority. I know, because all the visits me and my son went on, all the schools have, you know, sports psychiatrists or, you know, somebody they can talk to if they need to. But I think it needs to be, I'm not gonna say forced, but I feel like it needs to be a weekly thing, or, you know, set it up. Weekly, bi-weekly, that they talk to somebody, because you're right. The expectation is that the head coach is not going to be talking to these kids, you know, every day for 30 minutes. You know, he can't do that. He has too much on his plate. So yeah, and I definitely don't knock Coach Cristobal for what he said. Definitely, I agree, no doubt. If there's an issue, you know what I mean? And I think he was just frustrated with everything he's been hearing about it, probably. You know what I mean?
So,
you know, I don't knock him for that.
Yeah, like, seeing it publicized the way it was, it's, you know, it's a bad look. And it's already a bad season. Like, let's be honest, he's aged about 10 years this season. Sure, the way he looked coming out of Oregon to what he is now, homie done aged. Ain't no amount of cafecito that could give that man energy, because he looks wiped out. You know what I mean? So, like, I think that came out of a lot of frustration and a bit of honesty, you know, because, like, I'm sure there's kids on that team that, like, just don't have it, right? And he's like, and he looks at it different. Like, there's a pride that he takes on that U that we wear, that they wear in their helmets. That he's like, yo, like, you understand how blessed you should be to be rocking this uniform? Like, I wore it. Like, I wore it with legends, and you're just out here wasting it and quitting in practice. So I think he put too many of those emotions together to have that little clickbait, that little excerpt that he had it written, right? Like, ain't no way you drop a bar like that and you didn't rehearse. Like, yo, they're not going to be ready for this one, B. They're not going to be ready for this one. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All right, man. I think that wraps it up for today, baby. I think we're good for number one, right?
Yeah. Shout out, you know, some of the other cats, man. Wholesome.
Yeah.
Wholesome one. Yes. That's your man, man. My guy, Miami Flow. Flow yes. reached out, you know, just to put it out there, man. Flow reached out to me in a DM and said, you know, if we need to get on the show and pump out stuff, he'll let us rock on his show, man. So,
yo, shout out to Flow, man. I'm a big fan of Flow. Shout out to Wholesome. Shout out to NMD Grant, NMD Keynes, always dropping those little clips. Two minutes or more. Shout out to him. Shout out to Coach Coop. Listen, man, I said at the beginning of the show, we're here to take over, right? But it's us as a family. It's not us as a podcast. Like, I feel like we got the number one brand across the country. There's a reason why you still put us on at 8 p.m. when we're 4-4. There's a reason that happens, man. Understand, it's a Keynes thing, baby. You just wouldn't understand. Let's go, man.
Yeah.
Salute, man. All right, Joe. We'll holler. The U, baby, all day.